Tell your neighbor it's good to be in church this morning. We're just getting started. What a beautiful day. What a privilege to celebrate this day with you. Just getting my message open here. So this morning is a special day because it's not just the launch of our children's church, it's also the launch of our building fund. So if you haven't had enough on that side, we're starting tomorrow on that side. And the good thing is I'm not the project manager on this side. I was the project manager on that side. But praise the Lord, we have people that are much more skilled and that are going to be doing that for us. And so, yes, it's a special morning for us. And I want to share a very short word. We don't have a lot of time. Is this on? Is this working? Let's see. Just a second. Mucho, where's that other one?
It's right there.
So this morning, I wanted to share a very short word called Build With Us this morning. And I'm wanting us to just go back to the book of Genesis right in the beginning of the Bible. And I'm going to read those scriptures for us. Please, I'm controlling this one. I forgot. Here we go. Genesis 6, 9 to 17 says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so we kind of at the beginning of the Bible, we like, I think, in the sixth chapter there, not a lot has happened. There are a couple of hundred years that have passed and kind of Adam and his sons have been around. But Noah's kind of one of the first kind of major characters in the Bible. And so God has just created the earth. And he said, it is good. Then he created man. And he said, it's not good that man be alone. I will create a helper comparable to him that will help him with a whole lot of things. First of all, they will name all these animals that I've created. They will get involved in my creation. They will steward the creation that I've just created kind of in the first chapter or two there of Genesis. And then it's very strange for me. Right at the beginning of kind of the story of time, things go wrong. And they go seriously wrong. So serious that God has to say, there's a problem here. I need to press the reset button. We need to start over. They've messed up. And so the word says that the earth was corrupt. It's interesting. The thing that's going on right here, the reason why God is wanting to start completely over is two things: corruption and violence. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? And his response is, I'm going to flood this entire planet. Everything that I've just spent a lot of time, energy, and effort, everything that I've just said is good, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to wipe it out. The end of all flesh is before me, Noah. The earth is filled with lion, with violence. I will destroy them with the earth. And so it's interesting for me that God is saying, I've created this incredible thing, but it's become corrupt. It's become violent. It's become something that I didn't imagine for it to be. And so I'm going to destroy it. And so then this massive work of destruction just after the work of creation. But yet, there's this beautiful dichotomy. There is this act of destruction, and yet there's this act of salvation. And God decides to save one man. Out of everybody that's created, we don't know how many people were living on the earth. Right now there's about 8 billion people. We don't know how many people were living on the earth in the book of Acts, but Genesis chapter 6. But imagine it's quite a lot of people. God decides he's going to destroy all those people except one guy. And so the immediate thing that comes to mind, what did this guy look like? What did he sound like? What was his life like? What did he say? Why would God decide to save just one man, and by default, his family? What was different about him? And the word says Noah was a just man. A righteous man, a man that knew wrong from right. So while the corruption, while the gross violence, I imagine they were just slaughtering each other. There was just massive bloodshed going on in the earth. People were just lawless, doing their own thing, destroying one another, doing all the sins that we can't even kind of imagine people are doing. I would imagine that was kind of going on the earth at that stage. Except there's one man, and he's a just man. And secondly, he's perfect in his generations. Now, my New King James Version, when it looks at the word perfect, I need to read this for you. It says, in the New King James, having integrity. So God decides to destroy everybody except one man. The reason why he doesn't destroy this one man and his family is he's just and he has integrity. It makes one think how God went about selecting the one person that he would save the world through. And the two things that he saves them, why he saves them is because he's just, he understands right from wrong. And number two, his yes and his no is his no. That man had integrity. Noah had integrity. And so we've got this picture. We've got this kind of crisis looming on the earth. God is saying the end of all flesh has come before me, which means God has thought about this and he's obviously contemplating and decided, is he going to, inside he's going to destroy this creation that he's made? Is he going to let them save? How many people are going to live? But eventually he tells Noah, the end of the earth is before me. I've made up my decision. I'm going to wipe it out. I'm going to destroy it all except you. And so we go to the next scripture over here, the next verse. And then God gives him instructions. He says, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark inside. You shall make it with a lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. And so God has just spoken to Noah. He said, the end has come. Get ready. And then he gives them in this instruction. He says, go build something. Go and build something. Make this thing. Go build this ark of gopher wood. Okay, now the word gopher wood, the only time that's ever used in the Bible is yes. The people actually don't know what gopher wood sound is. It sounds a bit funny to me, but gopher wood apparently is like some strong wood, so it's probably like a cypress type of wood, is what the commentators are saying. So he says, make this thing, this ark. I don't even know if Noah's ever heard of an ark. But the main thing is God takes on the role of the architect. It's not like Noah needs to figure out or trust God for a dream or go and read up in some textbook around what an ark is and what an ark should look like. God takes the role of the architect. He says, I'm going to destroy everything, but here's the plan. I've got an ark that you need to make. Okay, make it from this gopher wood. And this is how you make it. Detailed instructions that are given to Noah, how to cover it so that it's watertight, and the length of the ark, the height and the width, and the windows, and the decks, and eventually tells him how to get all the animals in there. So God is creating this picture of what he wants the earth to be saved through, and it's this ark. Now, I think there's some modern interpretations, modern impressions of the ark. So a lot of people, I think, have actually tried to physically rebuild this ark, and there's just some pictures I found on the internet here that are quite interesting. These are like actual ships in in the harvest. I don't quite know what their purpose is. This one was quite a massive one. The amazing thing is that as I'm reading this story and I'm realizing that although the end of flesh has come near and God is saying, I'm going to destroy it, he saves Noah and his family in the sense that we're building project. Yeah? I think you know where this is going. We're speaking about building this morning. And I'm just going to read that final scripture for us. It says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, I used to live really nice and long in those days. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, listen to this, all the foundations of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know why, for some reason I thought it just rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and rained and rained. It was a whole lot of rain, but the word says here, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. That means they drilled like a billion boreholes in the earth. And it just, all the, I mean, if we think we're scratching the surface around borehole water, yeah, all the foundations of the deep, I mean, it's just water just came up through the earth. And I would imagine that combined with the kind of the rain for 40 days, 40 nights, it's not hard to imagine now for me that kind of the Mount Everest was flooded, you know, in a couple of days. And so the picture I'm wanting to share before we kind of get practical this morning is that, you know, we're building for a number of reasons here this morning. And one of the reasons is that the Lord has told us we need to create more space. We need to create more space for the lambs and for the sheep. But apart from that, the thing that the Lord just laid on my heart this week is, just like he did with Noah, when he told Noah to build something, the purpose of salvation was one of the main reasons. Yes, obviously the destruction was the one picture, but right on the other hand is this picture of salvation. So God often tells us to build something because he wants to save something. And what the Lord challenged me this week is, we can build here to feed a lot more lambs and sheep. But he said, what about building something where a lot more people get saved? One of my leaders challenged me in the week. And he said, not enough people are getting saved in our services. I said, you're right. We need to pray. And so I've been speaking for a couple of months, or two months now, on this thing about hearts under construction. The fact that we need to be known for love, and that the Lord has to do a lot of things in our hearts before we can actually reflect that love. But when he's done operating with us, when our hearts look a bit more like his, and we're ready to show that to the rest of this valley, people are going to need to get saved. Now we need to get ready. So the next step, once we're done with the operating table and we kind of healed up, we're going to go into a season of training, evangelism training, how to share your testimony. So we're going to have a couple of big groups here, and Graham and the evangelists and Boss Liesel. These people, they're going to train us how to get out of our comfort zones. Not all of us are natural fishers of men, okay? I'm not one of them. I'll still preach a sermon that's called Becoming Fishers of Men, because it's something that the Lord is constantly doing in my heart, where he's challenging me to go and fish for men. And so we got the gifting of the evangelist, but not all of us are comfortable walking up to a complete stranger or colleague at work or even your boss and saying, "Is your sock recht, meneer?" We need to get out of our comfort zones. So people, I'm shooting a flare here. It's going to get slightly uncomfortable in the next few months, because we're going to be challenged to get out of our comfort zones. We're going to be challenged to start sharing the gospel so people can get saved out there, but also in this space. And so just like Noah's Ark became a space for salvation, this place that we are creating and that space down there, it's going to become a place of salvation. Man, I would like one amen on that.
Amen.
And so that's where we're going. I'm kind of giving you a heads up. Once he's done with our hearts, and I'm done preaching, and I can't preach one more sermon on hearts under construction, and you also go, praise the Lord, he's done with that. Then we're going to go into a season of getting equipped. I spoke about that once, but being in a conversation with some guy, and he's throwing his scientific you know, atheistic approach to me, and I'm scrambling around for tools in my toolbox, spiritual tools to throw back, and I realize I don't have it. My apologetics, my ability to defend the Lord is weak. So we're going to go on this journey where we start looking at basic tools that you can rip out in any conversation, and you can counter those proofs. You know, Paul often said, Paul offended a lot of people. And Paul was a guy that went into town, and he went to the marketplaces and the places in public, and 80 sakers geroer, 80 mense geroer, and half of them wanted him out of the town because he was bad for business. He upset people. Okay? One of the guys that pushed the boundaries of the gospel, that advanced the kingdom of Christ, was an uncomfortable guy to be around with, because he would walk in here and he would just start challenging. And he would walk into the places where we, in a sense, fear to tread, and we tremble with the fear of man. And he went in there and he preached the gospel with passion and with conviction. And he knew what to say. And so the flare I'm shooting today is, people, we're going to be doing a bit more that. Paul said you need to defend the gospel. You need to refute. You need to argue. You must be able to hold your own as a Christian. We think as Christians, we just come and sit here, and that's nice every Sunday, and we're not going to get in anybody's faces or ruffle any feathers.
No. And let me tell you, I'm the last one. I'm the prim and proper daughter angel. So the Lord's just like, he's operating on my heart with patience and anger and all the things, and all the things we're busy with. He messed up my dog. The Lord is going to change me. That's what I love about preaching. Actually, I'm preaching each week to myself, people. You just get to benefit about it.
And so I'm excited. I'm excited about the next season, because it's going to be a season of salvation. But it's going to start in prayer. It's going to start in prayer. It's going to start in our intercession. We're going to start singing longer and longer, "I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you." And you know what? And once we're done singing with ourselves, we're going to start getting a heart and singing that over this town. And the Lord's going to start breaking something in our hearts around the lost. That's where he's taking us. So we're on this journey, and I'm just trying to give you a quick insight into it. And one of the practical things that we're going to focus on just for this morning, I'm not going to speak about it each week, is about making this space bigger. We've been speaking about it for a good couple of months, and I've kind of given you a heads up. But this morning, I'm wanting just for about 10-15 minutes to get really practical around what does it mean for each one of us sitting here when we say we're going to make this space bigger. So I've got a couple of questions there for us that I think we just need to retouch or recap. Why are we doing this building project? What are we building? What's the process we've been following this for? How much is this whole thing going to cost? How long will it take? Who's going to pay? Okay. So to the visitors, please excuse us. We're having a bit of a family meeting this morning. Like I said, it doesn't happen. In fact, it never happens. We don't talk about money often in this church, but today is one of those occasions. And I'm going to share just a couple of really practical things with you. So the first thing is, why are we building? I think it's important just to reflect on why do we feel that this space needs to become bigger. You know, the nice thing about being the new pastor is I didn't come up with this idea. this comes from the elders. This comes from Johnny. This comes from Tien's, my predecessor. I mean, he already had the architect, the plans were drawn up. Me and my wife just happened to be the fools that take the punishment of a building project. Suckers for that. You know, everywhere we go, we end up building. Just the week we heard that we're coming here, we finished our building project in Stellenbosch. So everywhere we go, we're building. So we're making a peace with that. We're praising the Lord for that. But why are we building? One of the first reasons is it's just a normal thing. It's a capacity indicator. So if you read up on the internet and you even go Google, when is it time to increase the size of your church? They say once you start hitting 80% of your capacity, more or less on a weekly basis, then it's time to start looking at increasing the size of the church. In fact, if you don't do that, you actually inhibit growth. Okay? So we are averaging between just parents, we're just under 80%. When the kids are in here, we're 95% of the current capacity. Okay? So in the natural, the indicators are kind of flashing and they're saying, you either need to double up your service or you need to build. The word that the Lord, I believe, has given us to those before me, or Johnny and Tiens, was that we need to engage in this building project. And when I came here, one of the first services that we had was Stephen Lungu. And I've shared this before. But you remember his words? When he came up here, he says, the next time I come to preach in your church, this church mustn't look the same. It needs to be bigger. Okay? One of the first few words that I had as they prayed for me, as the new pastor here, was expand the tent pegs. I didn't think it up. In fact, we were just like, please Lord, let us not do another building project soon. We know what Johnny and Tiens want to build, but in 2019. And that was, you can ask my wife. We said, Nidio, we sent them in, we need to get to know everybody. Which new pastor would be stupid enough to start a building project in his first 3 months of being at a church? Okay, clearly we are. So we're honestly doing that from a heart's conviction, and I can tell you we started to move in faith, and as we moved, the Lord confirmed very powerfully. I'm going to share that in a second. So why the building project? We believe, most importantly, that God has told us it's time to build. What are we building? Some of you don't even know what we're building. So those are the architect's plans, and there's a lot of detail in here. To make it really simple, this stage and this wall is going 9.5 meters that way. Okay, that's the cheapest, most cost-effective way we can increase our capacity to host people here. You know, there were a lot of other plans in the building committee, and I thought of going out that way, and some people even thought of going about that way. The way this building currently is built, there are buttresses on the side, and it's got a steel structure in the roof. As soon as you want to start going out that way, you're nearly doubling your cost. It becomes exponentially more expensive if you want to go that way. So for now, we've got the space at the back, and you will see that we've already cleared the ground over there. So we're literally just taking this space and this wall over here 9.5 meters that way, which will give us about at least another 90 chairs in this church. There's 150 chairs packed up right now. And we sit at a capacity of about 240, which I think initially might feel slightly big, but praise the Lord, we're all going to become fishes of men. It's kind of mess on all. And it's like a four-mark. I'm very excited about this. Our building plans were approved this week. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. It was quite a struggle, but we finally there. They had a lot of, because we're going bigger, we need to build double doors, basically on that side as well. We need an extra toilet for a paraplegic toilet. We need a paraplegic ramp and parking. So a lot of things got added, and we had to go through a couple of iterations to get ready for that. So that's what we are building. We're extending it that way. The next question, what is the process that we have followed as the church leadership thus far? So when me and my wife, we realized, okay, we need to step out in faith and get this thing going. We formed the building committee. Okay. Suckers that would take the punishment with us. Okay. Praise the Lord, they all joined us. So the building committee is myself, my wife, it's the elders, and Johnny, and Tani Delesti. Then we've pulled the skill, the expertise in our ranks. So we've got Vessel sitting over there. We've got Aaron, who works for Franschhoek Meesterbouw, knows a lot about building. We have Roland that helped with the... It's got his own kind of building company. And then we've got John Persneiman at the back there. He's got a brilliant business mind. So we kind of pulled together the strongest people we thought could come around the table. And we went on a hunt for quotations. Okay, so we looked at builders in Franschhoek. We looked at builders in Paarl. We looked at builders in Somerset West. We officially, there were more people we looked at. I think we looked at about 6 or 7 people to get quotations. At the end, 5 quotations came through. And we evaluated them as a committee. And, yeah, just with the skills and the expertise around the room, we could immediately sift out which those that, you know, weren't the right people, builders to go with, and we narrowed it down to two builders. And I asked for their references, I found all their references, both of their references said these guys are great, they're on budget, more or less on time, and we would highly recommend them. So the day before, so what we decided as the committee, we said we will have a site meeting with those last two builders in the pot, and we will interview them in a sense, and then we'll make a call who the final person is. The day before that meeting, the one a builder said he just landed a big contract in Cape Town. He would love to be involved, but he's not going to be able. So in a sense, the last person filtered out. And I really believe that the Lord's blessing is going to be with this builder. You know, they talk about that in the beginning, it says, ons bouwer. Ons bouwer is best. And my builder. And then 3 months later, he's just debowed. He's kind of taken two steps down, just debowed. And if he's around still, you know, at the end of the building project, then he has some French words in front, and then he's that folder. Okay? But we are trusting that he remains on power, okay? And I must just share this testimony. You know, when you felt the Lord saying it's time to build, and we kind of stepped out in faith. Now, there had been people that, in Jens' time, had already started sowing into this building project. And I just want to honor, you guys know who you are, but I just want to honor you for that initial seed, for that initial money that you helped to get us going. And as soon as that faith started stirring, and we knew, we stepped out in faith, and we said, Lord, we're going to do this. We get a call from a couple in the church, and they want to remain anonymous. But we get a call from them, and we're going to have coffee with them, and they say, Lord has spoken to them to put down this lump sum for the building project. We're going to talk about the specifics now, but it really was a significant amount of money, and we were just blown away, not just by their hearts, but about their obedience to, you know, to be obedient to God. Because in the end, it's God that moves the hearts of his stewards to, in their way, shepherd and build the kingdom. And so we praise God. We praise God for his faithfulness to speaking to his servants. But so once that came through, we're just like, okay, God, you're in this. I mean, who does this? You know, who gives that amount of money? But in any case, I'm having my first site meeting with Ons Bouwer. Okay? And at the end of the meeting, Ons Bouwer says to me, you know, he really feels he also wants to make a contribution to our building fund. Do I want it in 3 installments or lump sum? I mean, come on. Which builder makes a contribution to his client's building fund? And so, yeah, so we really praise God, and I must tell you, there's a lot of money that still needs to come into the pot, but man, if ever my faith has been stirred, and ever if God keeps on surprising me as we're stepping out in faith, it really is with this project. So, Ons Bouwer, say help us in court. Next question. So, how much will it cost? Let's talk some rands and cents. The quotes vary from, I think, about $550 to over, I think, about $1.2 billion for this work that we wanted to do. The one that filled it out, the one whose references checked out, and in a sense, the only one that kind of was available in the end, but I don't want to say was available in the end. This guy is a master builder, and it's the company's called Almo Construction. They do really great developments on Val d'Avis and other places. He's really a high-end builder, and his quote really surprised us. So we're just praising God for this guy that's available, and he's got a great team. And the other thing is our building committee knows about this one particular site manager, because building's all about your site manager. If you've got a bad site manager, you're gonna have a lot of trouble. And so we actually put in a request. They said, if you can get that site manager, it would be really great. And so I phoned up the owner of Omo Construction and said, My building committee is saying they want that particular site manager. He said, look, yeah, I know everybody wants that guy. And he's busy on other projects, but I negotiated a little bit. He said, okay, I'll give you him. And so we've got our site manager that's going to be on site here every day. Praise the Lord, I am no longer running around with my techies and my kippy. I'm done with site management. I'm just going to at 5 o'clock in the afternoon go to the site manager and say, we like it. But so yeah, guys, at this stage it's really looking good. And so the total including that, so I think it's about 620 excluding that, total including that's just over 700,000. So really, really competitive quote that we're looking at. And I think this is the last question I need to answer this morning. How are we going to pay? Okay. So now you need to focus. Okay, everybody's eyes on the board. So, Elmore Construction is quoted as about 707,000 Rand for this building project. What it doesn't include is, number one, it doesn't include the chairs that we're going to need to buy. Because we're going to need to buy basically 100 new chairs. These are about 450 a chair. They're expensive chairs, but they're really great chairs and they last long. So they're really great chairs, and so that's going to cost us just under 50,000 Rand to buy the chairs. Then the other thing that's not included in the quote is the painting work, because I think we know some great painters in the community that will be able to do it a lot better. And the last thing is the carpet, so we'll obviously need to put in a new carpet. These are relatively cheap industrial carpets. So we'll put kind of one carpet that goes through. So the building quote doesn't include chairs, painting, and carpets, okay? So more or less, we're taking a guesstimate there. If you're looking about 50,000 for chairs, 50 for painting, 50. So it might be a bit more, but there's always kind of cost overrun. So I'm kind of putting my expected cost for this building project is around about 850. Around about 850. It could be a little bit more, it could be a little bit less, it could be 900, it could be 800. But so let's, for the sake of this morning, let's call it 850. So that's the goal. The goal for our church is 850,000 Rand. The good thing is, our donor put in 250,000 into our kitty, into the building fund this week. So we are currently sitting there, 250,000 Rand. Let's give the Lord. Not many churches that start with "Suelagerabstuik." Okay, so we're sitting at 250k. It gets better. The donor has said that if we raise another 250 up to 500,000, he will put in another 250. Let's give the Lord. Which means to get to the 850, we'll need to push it another 100,000 Rand. So in total, what this church needs to raise for our entire building project is the sum of 350,000 Rand, which is the price of a nice family vehicle. And I really believe this is something that we can do. Our donor would have given 500,000 Rand. And so, people, that's the story. That's the story of the building project. God has really, really blessed us. And so now it comes down to what do we do? Let's respond. And so Moja and Sasha have made these nice little things for you. This is not to give to the dog when you get home. Okay? This is art, people. Okay, so this is a little house. So it needs to go up somewhere where it will bug you like crazy each time you see it. It needs to go up somewhere in your house. And it's a call to partnership. It's a little house that says, build with us. So that's, in a sense, the altar call for this morning. It's for you to go and pray about partnering with us. It's for you to ask yourself, what is the Lord laying on your heart? Are you going to build with us? And so on the inside, we've opened a specific account. It's called the Shofar Frontier Building Fund. The details are on there. And so what I want to challenge you is to take this home, to put it somewhere at home, and to go and pray about it. We're not forcing anybody. We're not putting pressure on anybody to give. It's the last thing we will do. If the Lord has provided everything that is already, I'm not panicking about the rest, okay? But one thing that's great when a church evolves about something, even if you can give something small, it's great if we can all contribute to something. So go and pray about it. And you know when the Lord challenges his people through David or Moses, every time they were asked or challenged to give something towards something, whether it was a gold something or whether it was to make the tabernacle or the ark for that matter, the Lord always said, according to the purpose of your heart. So the most important thing I want you to do is not feel guilty or pressurized or anything. That which you can give, let it come from your heart, because that blesses God. And we trust God that we'll get to the full amount. But the most important thing that the Lord wants is He wants our hearts to be stirred this morning. Not for building for the sake of building. Yes, we're making more space for the sheep and the lambs to be fed and to be tended. We're making and we're building something so that people can also get saved here this morning. So, I'm going to pray about it. Let's just stand this morning. I just want to thank you again for coming this morning, being part of our children's church launch, being part of the launch of our building fund, our building campaign. Perhaps the last thing I should just mention is, I didn't ask the question, how long will this take? You know when they say, when the builder says it will take 2 months, how long does it take? Yes, if you're lucky, it will take 6 months. So he said this thing is going to take 3 months, but he says times it by 1.5. So we're looking at about 4.5 months. Let's call it end of July. Okay. So perhaps what I should mention is for a while there's going to be a big drywall over here. It's going to might get a bit dusty. But that building is exciting times. And the nice thing about building is when it ends, and then you reap the fruit and the enjoyment thereof. But for a little while, for about 3 or 4 months, we're just going to have to lock arms and, in a sense, build together. I really feel that the Lord is challenging our hearts, not just about the finances, but just about the purposes of what He wants to do this morning. So let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank You. We thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You. And just for one service, we can stand still, Lord, and just reflect in the natural and get really practical, Lord, even rant and sense here this morning. And God, we thank You that we can feed on Your faithfulness this morning, Lord, that You have spoken to Him, Johnny, Lord, the person who started this church 30 years ago, Lord, who's in one sense dreamed of this building project for many years, Lord. Thank You that You spoke to Tien's, Lord, and God, that He lined everything up, Lord, that He did the groundwork, got the architects, got the plans. But never even saw, Lord, a spade going into the ground. Lord, that He did that in faith. Lord, and that we get to be the ones, Lord, that build here. Father God, we praise You for that privilege, that opportunity. God, we thank You, Lord, that You are leading, Lord. And Lord, as we take one small step in the natural, God, You just back it up massively, Father. We thank You for the provision that You have so clearly and so abundantly, Lord, showered on us, Lord, Your blessing on us, Father. But for a moment, Lord, we park all the money and all the bricks and everything to one side, Lord, and we reflect on why You want to do this, Lord. Thank You for space, Lord. It's just space. It's just brick and mortar. Yet Your plans, Your purposes, Your kingdom, Lord, can be established in that space, Father. And more people can be fed here. And more people can be discipled here. And more people can get saved here. So that's what we get excited about, Lord. And if we're not yet excited about that, thank You, Lord, that we can be honest about that. And we say, Lord, see our hearts, Lord, that we're not quite ready for this yet, Lord. That we're not quite ready, Lord, to be built in that way. To be living stones that go and call down safe in Your Father. I say, have mercy on us, Lord. Thank You that You're patient with us. So thank You, Lord, that You are building us, Lord, even in this. preparing our hearts, Lord, to go out to make disciples, to preach the gospel, to be like Paul, Father, to defend and protect you, Lord, out there, God, and to invite people into this space. It's just space. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, but this is just space. And so we recognize that as it, Father, but we celebrate, God, for this next season of expansion, the fact that you have called us, you have told us, expand the 10 pigs, and because you have said it, Lord, we move in faith. So I pray for each person this morning, Lord. I thank you that you will speak to each one of our hearts, how we can partner with you, Lord. So we just bring our hearts before you, Father. And God, thank you that we will not react out of any emotional pressure, any financial pressure, anything that's not of you, Lord. I cut that off of us, Lord. So thank you, God, that you speak to each person, Lord. What role they can play, Lord, as we build together. Pray in Jesus' name. The last thing I want to do is, every eye is closed. Is there anybody here? We've been speaking about a whole lot of things. We've been speaking about Noah. We've been speaking about men that didn't know God, men that knew God like Noah. We're speaking about building things so that people get saved. And you said, Rich, you might be standing and you say, Richard, I don't even know what you're talking about. What's this being saved story? So it'd be wrong of me to let this morning go by if I just don't check if everybody knows what that means to be saved. The fact that you come to a point in your life where you realize, like those people before Noah, that evil and corruption and violence and personally not knowing God amounts to the fact that if you had to die today, you wouldn't know exactly where you're going. You're not sure about that. And the amazing news is, Jesus came, and the first words that he said is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the reason why he would tell us to repent is because something is wrong. So you might be standing this morning, and something might be wrong. And that which is wrong is something between you and God. And so you might have given your life to the Lord when you were a teenager at a youth camp, or when you were a youngster in children's church. But you might be standing here this morning, you realize, not right with God this morning. The amazing thing is, the gospel is the good news. It's not free, it's not cheap, but it's free. And it's available to you this morning. So as every eye is closed, as every believer is praying, is there anybody that needs to make right with God or say for the first time, I need to give my life to the Lord? Is there anybody like that? You saying, I need to make a choice, I need to come back to God, I need to recommit my life to the Lord this morning. Is there anybody like that? Slip up your hand quickly if that's you. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? Anybody else that needs to respond? I'm going to ask you to be really bold. Those that have slipped up their hands, come to the front. I'm going to pray for you. Let's just give them a hand as they come to the front. Come to the front. We're going to pray for you. This is to pray for the man that's filled our children's church, eh? So let's just join him and pray. And pray for you. You pray. Father God, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
That is a day of salvation.
Salvation.
Right now, Lord, the angels are rejoicing in heaven because of the choice that your children have made. And we rejoice with them. Thank you for this, Lord. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my life. I confess with my mouth. I believe with my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I declare him King and Lord of my life. I live for you, Jesus. Come into my heart. You have my life. Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Yes, let's give a man. Jolene is going to spend a bit of time with you, just giving you something to read there, just talking you through the basics. You've recommitted your life. Praise God for that. People, have a wonderful week. Enjoy the fellowship outside. Don't swing on the jungle gyms. If you want to test them out, they're fine. And Morja says there's cupcakes. There's cupcakes, so grab a cupcake on the way out. Have a wonderful Sunday. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Megan.
Construction.